Not a friendly place. Not a place you can kind of settle in and get comfortable. In fact, some people get defeated very early in life. They live with the wounds that this world gives them throughout. This morning, as we look at Luke chapter 10, I want you to keep in mind that even though this world has been psychologically analyzed and there's been every little idea put forth to make life a little more friendly, the fact of the matter is that the world is still a fallen, broken place, and we live in a place that can leave us battered and torn on the highways and byways of life. And what you see in the passage we're going to read, what we will see, is that Jesus is going to show us that in this world there are actually three facilitators to your progress or to your demise, depending on which one you choose. Everybody chooses one of these in one way or the other. And so I want to suggest to you that you try to look for these three, and I'll highlight them as we go along. But lay your eyeball down in chapter 10 of Luke's Gospel to verse 25. The Bible says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, 'Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?'" There's a man who knows that life is going to end on this planet, and he's anxious to find out about that which is on the other side of death. Ought to be the question everybody asks at one time or another: what must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, the Bible says in verse 26, Jesus said unto him, "What is written in the law? How readest thou?" And he answering said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." Now, those are huge things. It sounds real good. Guy's got the gold star for saying it. And just because we say it doesn't mean we're doing it, but he can say it. You know, most people say, "I believe in God. I love God. I try to be good to people." And yet, Jesus comes back with this answer in verse 27. Verse 28, he answered and says, "Thou answered right, this do, and thou shalt live." If you could do that, you'd be all okay. Well, we see it unfolding, you know. Jesus kind of put it back in his lap, said, "This do, thou shalt live." Verse 29 says, "But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?'" Now, of course, you know, as I know, that every one of us is to play the neighbor to everyone we know. I kind of looked into the word. The word literally means in the Greek the idea of being near, somebody who's near. So that doesn't necessarily mean they live next door. They could be near you at work, the next cubicle, the next office. They could be somebody who's near you in your neighborhood, could be near you in your, family. You know, we sometimes think of them not being so. But, you know, the Bible says, "Love your neighbor, those that are near, as yourself." And you know what's funny about us? We all have this in common. We really love ourselves. You may be dejected, depressed, discouraged, and just want to crawl in bed, pull the covers over, turn out the light, pull down the shades, and feel miserable. But when the time comes and food's awaiting, you're out there eating. Doesn't matter how bad you feel. If somebody begins to tell you your problem, you begin to what? Justify yourself. That's what we do. We're very good at it. And the interesting thing is we're a lot easier on ourselves than we are on other people. We would tend to look at other people and be very much condescending and look down our noses and point the finger, but the fact of the matter is that we're all sinners, and when we get our minds around that fact, we can begin to be a little bit more neighborly. Now this morning, as we begin to kind of dovetail into what the heart of the message is here this morning, I want you to see and not miss this, because he kind of brings it back to us at the end of our message. So I want you to see it. In verse 29, it says, "But he," this is that lawyer, "willing to justify himself." You see, we're very quick to do that. If somebody accuses you of something, I remember a man said it this way: if you're wrong, you have no excuse, and if you're right, you need no excuse. But what do? We become indignant. We become indignant even when we're wrong, because nobody knows all the nuances, and we can turn to the left and to the right and dodge and so forth, and what we can end up doing is begin to take the rabbit trail to the left or to the right and get off point. We'll do that. We're very good at it. We're very much so experts at it, because we've been protecting ourselves all of our lives. Well, why? Why is he willing? Because he has been hit by the facilitators this world is offering him. He has learned the trade. Actually, we could say honestly. Come by it honestly. He grew up in a world that told him you need to fight for your own, you know, stand for your own and all of that. And so he comes by it honestly, if you will. In verse 29, it says, who is my neighbor? And tonight, this morning, what I want you to do is I want you to see this whole umbrella of showing mercy is set before us. Because being a neighbor means having a degree of compassion for other people. And we're going to see that as the passage unfolds. Jesus says in verse 30, answering, he says, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, the first thing you see out of the gate is here's a guy just kind of minding his own business, and he's going from Jerusalem to Jericho, just a typical journey, you know. It's a geographical thing. It's not about going up north, because that would be north, but it's geographical in the sense of the way the topography of the land lay. He was going down from Jerusalem. He was going to Jericho, and he was just minding his own business. Now, this is like you and me. You see, we come into this world, and as it were, we are actually surrounded by what I'm calling today hoodlums. How many of you know a hoodlum? You don't have to raise your hand because they might be sitting in the room. But nevertheless, the fact of the matter is we are surrounded by hoodlums. You know, I remember as a child, you know, I remember growing up and having the kids in the neighborhood, the heavier kid who chased me around and wanted to beat me up. I remember being in the neighborhood, and when I was 8 years old, I had almost lost my life in a fire, and I came out of the hospital after recovering for 3 months in a hospital, nearly died, and kids would make fun of a scar I had on my chin, and they would make fun of me. They're mean, they were rude, they were hard. I remember being the kid when I got a little older, you know, toughing up and turning around and becoming a hoodlum and picking on somebody else. And we learned in the schoolyard to be hoodlums. We learned at the workplace to be hoodlums. We learned in our homes to be hoodlums. Some of us came out of homes where our people that we were born into the family of were very hard on us. Our dad didn't know what it was to say I love you or give you a hug. Our dad didn't know what it was to give you an attaboy or a I'm proud of you son or to care and to look into your situation and embrace us. And in fact, did just the opposite. Not just neglect, but said, you're stupid. What are you doing, you dumb kid? Those words hit us like a slap in the face for some of us because for some of us we heard those words. And for some of us we said those words and we feel bad about that today perhaps. But the fact of the matter is that we're born into a world that is broken and fallen. It is full of hoodlums and it squeezes us into its mold. And it is, as the Bible says, like thieves. Jesus said in John 10:10 that the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Jesus makes a distinction between what he offers and really what the rest of this world offers. In one blanket statement, he basically places everybody else that's trying to influence your world under the umbrella of thieves. So I say hoodlums not because these people are exclusive, because in the parable he's setting before them, these thieves had an agenda, and you'll see it as we read it again. Look at verse 30. It says, a certain man went down from Jericho or Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. I don't know about you. I look at the world in which we live. They've got this new thing where they birth babies in bathtubs so there's not this cruel shock, you know. But the fact of the matter is that this world is not a friendly place. It's hostile. And we will, at one point or another, fall among thieves. Thieves who want to kill, break through, and destroy, and all that. He says, these are thieves who did what? What did they do? Well, they stripped him, they wounded him, and they departed, leaving him half dead. Those are some things that the world does. Now, if you kind of break that down, you see, first of all, that these are thieves, and the word literally means to plunder. What they want to do is they want to take from you. You and your world, you and your individual life are a person who will stand or fall before God alone. You will not stand with your husband, and you will not stand with your wife. You will not stand under the umbrella and authority of your parents. You will stand before God alone, and this world wants to rip from you your most precious possessions. They want to plunder you. They want to take everything you've got. They want to, and they will. They'll use you up. So much so that Freud came up with the idea of the survival of the fittest when he looked at nature and then he looked at humankind. He didn't see much difference because the beast in all of us wants to push somebody else down. And that's why you talk to somebody in the streets and the highways, byways of life, and they're putting somebody else down. Why do they do that? Because it makes them look better. It's always about get them before they get me. Best defense is a quick offense. We've said it. We know it. We've heard it. We live it. It's a motto. It's our world. Listen, we live in a world that wants to rip you off. It wants to take your most precious things. The Bible says that they, first of all, stripped him of his raiment. Now, literally, this word, the idea of being stripped, is the idea of going into and bringing away. Okay? Going into and bringing away. And when I look at that, I can't help but understand that the first thing as a child that I lost was my innocence, because I saw things, I heard things, I was exposed to things that I should not have been exposed to. Whether it was a TV program, I was working for a family one time, and I was working in their home, and I was hanging some paper down in their back room, and the grandmother was the caretaker of this child. And I remember as I was working at this place that what was happening was the grandmother, the baby, the kid was probably about 4, and the kid was really kind of whining. I mean, the kid was into all my stuff, and he was whining, and he was carrying all that and all this. And finally, the grandma's trying to keep him all calm and occupied. And finally says, I'll make you a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I'll make you a peanut. You go in and watch Mama's stories. And you tell me what happened. Now, I can't imagine what the child's going to be saying at 4 years old to the grandmother who's watching these stories on the morning TV show called soap operas, which people actually are losing interest in because this world is more weird than the soap operas are now. This is what's going on. But she said, go, and the kid was exposed to things. And today what kids are exposed to is video games and TV and movies. Man, and in their own homes, when I said the schoolyard, the workplace, it's also in our own homes. And sometimes we say, hey, you know, hi, you answer the phone for mom, and she, don't tell them I'm not here. Tell them I'm not here. Tell them I can't come to, you're standing right there, mom. I remember one time Linda and I were trying to explain some things and talking amongst ourselves. We had a neighbor that was not a believer, and we used the word blind in regard to, because, you know, biblically the Bible says the lost person is blind, you know, and so one of my kids walked up to the neighbor and said, are you blind? They'll bust you out in a hurry, won't they? See, the fact of the matter is that we get plundered, and the moment that you do it wrong, now listen, what's funny is in that juxtaposed situation, I may do the right thing, but I get treated as if it was the wrong thing. So I get hurt, and somebody reached into my heart, and they yanked something out that was good, that was precious, it was my innocence, my tenderness, and my conscience. And remember the day you first started swearing, or the first time you took a smoke of a cigarette? You remember the time that you first looked at a dirty magazine? Remember the time? This world, it slimes us, and it rips from us, and the world commends it and smiles and laughs and applauds, and somebody offers you a joint, or somebody tells you there's some pills on the street, and it'll make you run faster. But what I'm saying is there are hoodlums everywhere. This is a veritable viper's nest down here. And what God would have us understand is that all that came before Jesus were thieves. And they want to rip you off. Now you say, well, that's good, that's interesting, I understand that, but I want you in your mind's eye to recognize that every one of us in this room are acting a certain way because of certain influences in our lives. You dress a certain way because maybe the TV says to dress this way. You maybe act a certain way, stand a certain way, walk a certain way, talk a certain way, wear certain items. I remember down in Virginia when we were working down there with the youth ministry, everybody had a belt that looked more like one of those big-time wrestlers kind of things. You know, they could have covered the whole belly with that thing. Because that was what they did in that part of the world. Some people wear cowboy hats, and some people wear cowboy boots, and some people, because of the influence of their back, but there are some things morally that we accept or reject because our world has squeezed us into its mold. It says not only that they stripped him, but they wounded him. Interesting word. It says that they stripped him of his raiment and wounded him. The word is plague, which we get the word plague from. They didn't just wound him. They left him with a wound that was really putrid, that was really something that would affect other people that came around it. Do you know? It's a billiard ball effect. Somebody slaps you, and you want to turn around and slap somebody. That's why every family needs to have a dog. See, you got... No, you don't need to slap your dog, and I'm just kidding, but you see my point. The fact is, it's true. We all feel it, don't we? You come home from a hard day at work, fellas. Man, it's been rough. You've been out there, you know, you've been taking it from the guys at work. They've been giving you grief, and you come home, and what do you do? Well, you want to bite somebody at home, so you bite your wife. You want to bite somebody at home, you bite the kids. Somebody gets in your space, you don't, maybe you're afraid of your spouse or your kids, so you bite the dog. It's what we do. We live in that neighborhood. We relate to this because it's true. Hoodlums are everywhere. And what they will do is they will squeeze you into mold. They will applaud you and have pleasure in your wrongdoing because it makes them feel better about themselves. The last verse of Romans chapter 1 tells us that they not only do unrighteousness, but have pleasure in those who do it. And so, beloved, you have to understand that the world has got a facilitator to your journey. And it's in the hoodlums. But then you see, not only did it wound him with kind of a plague, which was putrefying and contagious in many ways, but it says it says that they departed from him, leaving him half dead. Interesting. Departed from him, leaving him. Do you know what the world does? It uses, abuses, and then dismisses as if you don't matter. You know, when